Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yes, you could hear it even in the news bulletin. We're still talking about ticket prices. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a bit worn out from all the concert ticket hype over the summer, from Taylor Swift to Coldplay. I feel like Oasis kind of tipped us over the edge. I mean, it is a monumental announcement that they are reforming. I get all that. Everyone got really excited. And I think we all knew going into it that there was going to be massive demand for these tickets. Bugbear number one by me was the 8 a.m. start. What was that all about? What's wrong with a nice, respectable 10 a.m.? You've had a cup of coffee, you've padded around. It's your day off, for God's sake. But I got ready for that. I got prepared. I tried multiple ways fairly. My husband was logged into a separate Ticketmaster account. I was logged in for a separate Ticketmaster account. Even had my mother ready, armed. And we were mainly doing it for my brother, who is a massive Oasis fan. And we queued. We got bumped off and we took it on the chin. He's got four tickets to go to Cardiff. He's happy enough. But the outrage has not really come with that, because I think we all accept that there's only a certain number of tickets and you think it's a first come, first served. But we're hearing now that there was dynamic pricing at play. So the more the demand goes up, the more the price goes up. We sort of just accept it in flights, but should we be accepting it when it comes to our ticket prices? There's been a national outrage. It's all over the papers this morning. Some standing ticket prices went for over 400 euro. And since then, the culture minister has had something to say. And even the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, yesterday said he hoped the organisers of the ticket sales for the Oasis concert at Croke Park next year will reflect on what happened.
I do think we need a real strong reflection on this kind of runaway inflation in costs for concerts of this kind. There's so many people looking forward to it, but clearly it's beyond the reach of many, many people to purchase or to be in a position to afford to get to a concert, given the rapid acceleration of price increases around the tickets. We would hope all of those organising this could reflect on what has transpired, because certainly there are a lot of disappointed people.
That has a real bang of take a long, hard look at yourself off it, hasn't it? But we are all feeling that way, and perhaps we would use more colourful language than Micheál Martin. We'd like to hear from you on your experience and your thoughts on dynamic pricing. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. You can WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106. I'm joined in studio by Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore Music podcast. Dave, are you outraged?
I'm not outraged because I didn't even try. I'm not the biggest Oasis fan in the world. I hope that's okay to say. I hope that's okay to admit on national radio. But I'm not outraged. I'm not surprised either. This was always going to be an absolute bloodbath. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what transpired. You could have seen it coming a mile away. The dynamic pricing element, however, I think people have every right to be upset about. It wasn't billed as an auction. It wasn't a case of, you know, you get into the front of the queue and all of a sudden, whoops, 400% increase. That was not build ahead of time. But of course, a lot of people have chosen to pay that amount of money, which is an extreme amount of money for so many different people. And you're saying earlier on, you know, oh, we accept it with flights and, you know, should we even there, or hotel rooms, or someone selling a house? I mean, this thing of like the highest bidder, fair enough, I understand it. Like, this comes down to supply and demand, but it's morally dubious in the extreme and it does need to be looked into. I don't think there's much of a case to answer here, though, in terms of what went down from a, you know, kind of, there's no fraud involved here. People knew what they were buying. They knew how much money they were going to spend when they hit the checkout. That was put in front of them. And Micheál Martin's idea about maybe, like, you know, a bit of shame to be invoked here, it's not going to, Liam and Noel Gallagher aren't going to be too upset by that. They're counting their money already and the gigs haven't even happened yet.
They would have been counting their money, though, if they had have just used tiered pricing, that there's a set price for the pitch. There's a set price the lower down the seating you are. Up in the gods, you know you're going to pay a little bit less because you're, even in the theatre, if you have an obscured view, you know you pay a little bit less. I mean, I think that's fair, and that's still making them and the promoters a hell of a lot of money.
Oh yeah, this is plain and good old fashioned simple greed. There's no need for this. It's avarice. I mean, like, it's absolutely gouging people and doing so during a cost of living crisis. And again, Oasis, of course, come from a working class background. Like, they, for a long time, they would have been very reflective of working class people, the hard working people who go out there and don't have that much money to spend. Of course, those days are long over. Millions and millions of pounds later, you know, their working class roots can't really be seen anymore from their respective ivory towers. So you do have to question the motivations here beyond just the obvious cash grab nature of this. And of course, you know, when the reunion was announced, people were speculating, is this because Noel's going through a costly divorce? I'm sure that's part of it. He is getting 50 million, if reported to be believed, as is Liam. And that was before a ticket was even sold. So on top of this, it's going to be very interesting to see where the money goes down. I mean, Ticketmaster, of course, is the machine that is the, you know, the conduit between Oasis and the fans. And everyone was getting very, very mad at Ticketmaster when this was happening. And fair enough, the service, absolutely there are questions to be asked there. But they are the device. You know, like, this comes down to the artist and the promoters more so than the machine that you use to get in there. Although, of course, that machine gets a cut of the money, and the more money generated via ticket sales, the more they're going to get as well. So everyone, apart from the fans here, is kind of laughing. Although some fans seem to be happy to spend this amount of money, which is quite questionable, I would say, as well.
Can we get Liam and Noel on the phone, please? And while we're waiting for that to happen, Brian is on the line in Trim. Brian, you were trying for tickets. How did you get on?
No, I didn't get them. And to be honest, when I started seeing the cost of them, when you did get through after multiple hours, not a hope I would have paid that money. I mean, I've seen them. And one thing that came to me was I've seen them in Slane, you know, a long time ago, 2009. It wasn't that difficult, or it wasn't this difficult or expensive to get tickets for Slane, which is a massive, you know, event in Ireland every year. As my father said, he got tickets from Michael Jackson first. I think it was 92 or 93. Okay, queued up and slept out. Was a bit of crack, but he wasn't gouged when he got to the counter. You know, and as Dave was saying there, you know, people knew what they were paying. People didn't know what they were paying until they got through the whole 4 hour or 3 hours or 2 hours waiting. And by that stage, it's kind of like a gambler. You're looking at it, your dopamine is hit, you've got through, you're happy and going, oh, I have to take what I'm given. And I'd say a lot of people on reflection from Saturday morning are going, I can't believe I'm spending, you know, multiples of hundreds of euro on a ticket for a concert where I'll be standing beside somebody that 12 hours earlier got the same ticket for a third of the price.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's like sale price. You know, if you walk in and you pick up a jacket, yeah, and it's reduced from 300 to 150, and all of a sudden you might never pay 150 for a jacket, but because it's come down, it does something to our mind. It happened to me with Coldplay. By the time I got there, there were only like VIP packages left. Yeah. I don't know if dynamic pricing was on the go. I feel like all the pitch tickets were gone. That's what I thought at the time. But again, there were some for 1500. So I ended up buying two for 300 because that seemed cheaper. And you're right, you feel like you're in this club and the time is ticking down in the clock in the corner.
Severe pressure, you know, and you could be kicked out, right? I mean, there was multiple reports of people all over Twitter, X, I mean, saying, got to like number six in the queue, next minute I was removed, being accused of being a bot. And that's another thing about dynamic pricing. Like, we all know there's touts on it using multiple different systems. So the bots are then counted as people. So the price is going up because somebody somewhere has created multiple different accounts and is then screwing the rest of us. But it's just, I do think one thing that is kind of come true, and I really would like to see if they would say something, is that the working class method from Noel and Liam seems to be well out the window, and divorces or no divorces, you know, the as you wear attitude that they've kind of had in the last while, it's really gone out the window in regards to what they've done here with our tickets. I mean, it's not just here. We've MPs, you've Claire Hannah saying it, you've other MPs in England saying it, you know, it's not just me, Michael Martin, and the guys over here saying it. So, morals, yeah, they're not breaking the law, but I think it's the old average Joe song seems to be getting screwed once again. And for us, you know, that seems to happen a lot. And you mightn't be an Oasis fan, but it'll get you eventually. It'll be some concert you want to go to. There might be a big concert and you'll get screwed over.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily just those tickets. It's just the selling of dynamic priced tickets. Brian, thank you very much for coming on. I want to bring in Alan Buckley. Alan, you're head tour guide at the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. So you must have gotten your fair share of gigs over the time. What do you think of dynamic pricing?
Well, I think I suppose, thanks for having me on, because I do deal in, I suppose, the area of music nostalgia and how much music means to people. And while I will admit that concert tickets is not, and the pricing of same is not the central question facing humanity, I do think it is reflective of a trend in society whereby everything just becomes outpriced. It becomes inaccessible to people. And one of the most important things in Irish culture, in world culture, is the ability for ordinary people to get to see live music, to get to see their heroes, to get to see the people who have inspired them. And what's happening in dynamic pricing is that you're faced with the reality of either people who can genuinely afford to pay, you know, at the ticket prices you've kind of described today, or you get people who have to make a choice between seeing their heroes from the 90s or not going on a family holiday, because that's roughly what you're talking two tickets to Oasis would have cost. I think it's shameful. I think you'll find it is very hard to defend. I have heard the argument, oh, well, musicians don't make the money from selling records anymore, therefore you have to be able to sell extremely expensive concert tickets because streaming platforms don't pay.
Alan, you've dropped out a little bit there. I don't know if you can maybe stand on one leg or see if you can get signal elsewhere. Are you gone? The line has dropped. And, you know, I know when one of our producers was talking to Alan earlier, he was saying he met a lot of Americans who had come to Ireland. And while they were here, they obviously went in to see the museum experience. And they were saying it was cheaper for them to travel to Ireland, transatlantic flights, pay for hotels and their concert ticket to see Taylor Swift in Ireland than it was for them to buy a ticket in America because they have dynamic pricing there. He's back. I was telling your story for you, Alan. Did I do it justice there on the Taylor Swift fans?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say over the period of that particular week, several hundred American visitors who'd actually realized that by booking flights, concert tickets and hotels, they were still paying less in total for what it would cost to see them, because dynamic pricing for concert tickets has not only been around longer in the United States, but has become, I'm slow to use the word acceptable, but it has become part of the reality of going to concerts. And when I say to American friends, like, oh, I paid €176 for my AC/DC ticket, they were like, well, that's quite reasonable, you know, because and those tickets went on sale for 86. But of course, by the time I got the ticket, it had dynamically priced upwards. So no, I mean, I come at it from a slightly different point of view insofar as that I do think that music, and particularly rock and roll or pop or whatever way you want to call it, has become and is more and more becoming inaccessible to true fans. And there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with a society that accepts that. As I said, not the central question facing humanity, but when normal entertainment and the things that make your day-to-day more beautiful and more enriched become further and further away from the pockets of ordinary people, then you have to look at how your society is organised.
Yeah, I like the cut of your jib with that one, Alan, for sure. Mm. You can let us know what you think. 53106, it'll cost you 30 cent, or you can WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106. There are loads of texts coming in. My friend had tickets in the basket, 1,028 for two, and was willing to pay. She got bumped out of the queue. She's devastated. I think it's price gouging. Anyone who pays that much for concert tickets, says another, is crazy, but it's their money to do with as they please. It's discretionary spending, and the government has far more urgent matters to deal with, such as health and housing, where people have no choice but to pay or wait. And I hear you, but, you know, we're not saying this is the most important thing facing humanity today, which is something that was just said there by Alan. But at the same time, it is a subject to be discussed. People are forking out thousands. And is it fair? And if we don't talk about it, then it will never be stopped. I have Fiona on the line. Fiona, what was your experience?
Hi there. Hi. So I, like a lot of people, tried to get pre-sale tickets and wasn't successful. So I, you know, had a chat at home and we had a decision made that we try and get tickets, and that, you know, depending on the cost, we would go for it. I had looked at the ticket prices before I went online, so, you know, made a little plan for myself. I knew that there were going to be premium tickets, and said to myself, look, I have a special birthday next year. It's once in a lifetime. I will go for it if I get the chance to get those tickets. But then obviously getting on online, the two tickets came up and they were called Platinum Official Tickets. So I, you know, had 30 seconds to decide and said to myself, right, I'll go for it. Took a deep breath and went for it. But it was only afterwards that I realized that those Platinum Official Tickets are not actually the premium tickets, which I, you know, thought they might have been, that I was actually paying the same price as somebody else who possibly got the same seat sitting beside me for a lower price. I hadn't realized that. And there was no reference to this type of pricing when I looked at the advertised prices before I went online. So I honestly feel like a bit of a fool that I've gone on and bought two tickets that I thought with a name like Platinum was actually indicating something other than it was. And I think that's the angle that I'm coming at. It's, you know, you have such a quick time to make a decision. They use a name like Platinum. You're thinking that you're, okay, it's a very expensive cost for a ticket, but you're thinking, right, I might be getting what might be considered that premium ticket, and therefore there's a little bit extra with it. So you make that decision, you spend that money. But then you realize that actually it's not that at all. So that's the issue I have. I mean, I made my decision. I knew I had a budget. But then to find out that that's actually not what I'd purchased. And I feel that that's actually false advertising. And that's the angle that I'm coming at it from.
Platinum is a very iffy word, isn't it? It sounds fancy in some way. What did you end up paying for? Did you get two tickets?
I did. And I paid €500. And I knew that.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.